from the Catholic perspective, it's Catholic or it's nothing. We have to lay that groundwork. There is no other road. We believe that Christ came to this earth. He established the Catholic religion through Pope St. Peter, handed the keys over to him, and he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So you're either in the flood waters and not saved, or you're on the Catholic boat. The Catholic Church cannot change what it has taught for centuries, and that is essentially what happened at Vatican II. They're now teaching all of these new doctrines and new principles. It's literally new everything across the board, new theology, new mass, new catechisms, new Bibles, new everything, new ecclesiology.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This show, we're going to talk about the divide that is forming in the Catholic religion. It's become pretty intense, and there are people that are on both sides, and it's a very controversial issue. And I wanted to cover that so that people could get an idea. There's a lot of people who aren't Catholic, and so get an idea of what's really going on in the Catholic Church. And there's probably Catholics that don't even realize it's what's going on in their own faith, because they maybe aren't, they're following maybe what's going on in the Vatican and follow it and don't realize there is this separation and this divide that's going on. The other thing that I want to say before we get into this is that I want to say where I stand. I am not Catholic. I was raised Christian. I was raised Episcopalian. And my mother is a Eucharistic minister. And I don't follow all the principles of the Catholic religion. I do strongly believe in the principles that Jesus taught. But of course, my interpretation of what Jesus taught is different than what a lot of Catholics taught. But I also believe so strongly that people have the right of freedom of thought, freedom of religion, and the right to believe in your own faith and what you believe. I think that's so important. But I also love being around people of like-minded, loving Christians and people of all faiths that share those same principles, no matter where you are in the world. I've learned that people of that those follow those same type of principles exist everywhere in the world. And I love being around those type of people. That being said, I do not believe in this whole New World Order deal and forcing any one thing on somebody. I don't believe in this one world religion. I don't believe in any of that, because that's forcing people, that's thought police again, and that's forcing people into something that I just don't think is healthy for our human community, if you will. And what I'm doing is I'm bringing Eric Gajewski, and he runs Tradcat Night, which is one of the most popular Catholic websites and shows out there. And he's going to share with us what his beliefs are. We don't think alike in this way. He's very much a Catholic, and he believes that people who aren't Catholics are not, they're essentially going to hell, and that you have to believe the Catholic religion exactly like he says you do. Otherwise, he believes that you're not a true Christian. And of course, I wasn't raised that way. I don't believe that. And I know this is controversial, but I have to put that out there so that people know where I stand. That being said, I think I love and embrace people like him and of that faith, probably more than they embrace me. And that's okay. I need to throw that out there. But this is a very educational interview on what's going on in the Catholic Church. And I think that it's important that we know. This is something, of course, our mainstream media would never cover. They would never cover this kind of stuff. And then, of course, he gets into other kind of political and things going on that you may or may not have heard of before, but the mainstream media would never talk about it. So let's get into that interview now with Eric Gajewski. Hi, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it, Sarah. Appreciate you coming on my show last week, and looking forward to this wonderful talk where I get to be able to elaborate on who I am, what Tradcat Night is, you know, what we're hoping to accomplish, and possibly discuss the apostasy in the church and a lot of the things that we're seeing in the mainstream headlines today, but only coming from a traditional Catholic perspective, which is a minority perspective, if you will. It's not the popular opinion these days in a predominantly Protestant world. So I appreciate you allowing me to come on and speak, Sarah.
Yeah, well, that's what I really want to find out, because the Catholic religion, it seems like it's in a split, and you are in the forefront of educating people about this and what's really going on there. So can you explain in a little bit more detail what your work focuses on? And you kind of just did that, but maybe you can elaborate a little more, and then we can get into some of the detail behind that.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, just kind of a background to me. I have a background actually in the business world as well. I have a master's degree in business, was a relatively successful businessman in my late 20s, did very well for myself. Was a kind of a young playboy type, you know, did a lot of things wrong, I guess you can say, you know, led an evil life. And it was basically coming back to the church by praying the rosary, actually. So I know a lot of times Catholics get knocked for praying the rosary, doing, you know, quote unquote, weird things that are not found in the Bible, or however you want to label it, by other Christians. But that was a catalyst for me for getting my act together, so to speak. And so I wasn't always this Bible thumping, you know, Catholic, if you will. And I know we talked off air last time, Sarah, just to give you a background on me. You know, I also have a kind of a side ministry working with prostitutes and escorts and pornographic actresses, and it's quite interesting because you can kind of see how the human trafficking element kind of ties over into that area, and just a lot of stories that I wish I hadn't heard, that we could probably get into in a little bit. But you know,
I understand the wish I hadn't heard, but you know, some of that stuff is just so important to understand, you know. But keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And so Tradcat Night, yes, what I try to do is basically on a daily basis demonstrate very concretely that there is an apostasy in the church that was forewarned in Scripture. I believe it was 2 Thessalonians 2:3, where St. Paul is talking. He said, shortly before the arrival of the Antichrist or the son of perdition would arrive, that there would be this revolt in the church, basically. There would be a revolt. Now, with the advent of the Second Vatican Council, which was this purported council in the church, what ended up happening was that churchmen started teaching these condemned principles of Freemasonry that were, as I mentioned, previously condemned by the church. So now Catholics are scratching their heads saying, well, didn't the church condemn, you know, these various principles beforehand? So now there's like a catch-22. Do I follow my local bishop and the Pope in false obedience, or do I resist? And that's why, you know, I'm kind of labeled a resistant type. And this is what Catholic theology teaches us, is that if a pope and a bishop fall into error and they start teaching errors and heresies, we don't follow them. And so there were various situations in church history, one of which was called the Arian crisis way back when we literally had 9 out of every 10 bishops in the world was a heretic. And so from the Catholic perspective, it's Catholic or it's nothing. We have to lay that groundwork. There is no other road. We believe that Christ came to this earth. He established the Catholic religion through Pope St. Peter, handed the keys over to him, and he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So in certain instances on the matters of faith and morals, we believe the Catholic Church is infallible. So it's kind of like a ship or an ark, we call it the church. In Old Testament times, that's what the prefiguring of the church was. So you're either in the flood waters and not saved, or you're on the Catholic boat, so to speak. I just wanted to lay that out there because that's not obviously the common the common opinion amongst those who identify themselves as Christians. So
I think other Christian religions are all trying to follow Jesus, but some of them think the Catholic, well, the people who aren't Catholic, obviously, think that the Catholic Church doesn't, after this amount of time, doesn't represent what Jesus truly meant by their principles. I'm not arguing this. I'm throwing this out there. And so how do you, you know, through time with the popes and different things, has there been changes? You said there was another time where 9 out of 10 popes believe something different. Now, has there been changes through time that the popes make changes as culture evolves and things? And how does that go from away from the principle of Jesus versus staying with what he really taught?
Right, and that's an interesting point, because what we have now is the Vatican II popes now admitting that they're representing the gospel in a different fashion or in a new way. The bottom line is when you reduce and deduce what these popes are actually saying, it comes back to a whole socialist, a whole new socialist gospel that they're teaching, the legitimate redistribution of wealth. And you see Francis up there talking about how we have to have an ecological conversion. He's been on record, Sarah, saying communists make the best Christians. Mm. I'm not kidding you. He has said that. And so, you know, he's been on record as saying there is no Catholic God. He believes in this weird, funky version of a God spray, which is a whole other topic for another show. So this is what we're trying to get across at Tradcat Night, the apostasy in the church. I try to cover the latest headline news to demonstrate that we're living in those Matthew 24, Luke 21 timelines. And I'm trying to get everyone, people prepared for this tribulation and this upcoming Antichrist, which maybe we can follow up like on a future video. We can do that. But Sarah, I have people from all walks of life following this website. This is not just traditional Catholics following it. You know, I do have quite a few Protestants, but you would be surprised how many celebrities, actors, athletes, international models even follow this work. They see what's going on in the world, and even they are kind of raising their eyebrows like, are we in those times? You know,
I mean, everybody's going, holy crap. Like, I just did that, and we're going to get into this a little bit more, that show that just aired yesterday on my channel about what's going on in China with the forced organ trafficking and the amount of, in the last 18 years, the amount of deaths there has bypassed what happened in Russia with Stalin and Lenin. It is it's been very controlled. Now, that's a communist environment. People don't realize some of these things that are going on. And then with all the changes, people are scared. And yeah. I don't know, change is scary. So how much of is it change is scary and there's so much chaos and all this technology coming by, you know, going on? Or is it really, holy crap, something's happening?
Yeah, I think, well, it could be a combination of both. And yes, change can be very scary. And that's one of the principles that I try to get across on my website is that, I have this concept of an eagle. And within this scenario, we see this great storm approaching. I think everyone can kind of see, ooh, something's about to happen here. Well, I just say, you know, keep your wings spread as an eagle in faith and hope. But one of the characteristics of an eagle is to be able to adapt and to change. Now, I'm not talking about theologically because the church can't change, and this kind of follows up and piggybacks off of the point I was trying to make earlier. The Catholic Church cannot change what it has taught for centuries, and that is essentially what happened at Vatican II. They're now teaching all of these new doctrines and new principles. It's literally new everything across the board, new theology, new mass, new catechisms, new Bibles, new everything, new ecclesiology. Well, and it's a new gospel, as admitted by Francis just recently in the past week. You can't that's been infallibly condemned by the church. So Catholics, the only response that a Catholic can have today is resistance. Now, sadly, we have, as you mentioned before, a silent schism in the church. It's not yet formal, in my opinion, when this false prophet character shows up and he demands that everyone takes this mark, which will be happening soon. That ties in with the whole great apostasy in scripture. And I'm glad that you said that, because there's an ongoing war, and I'm not even very popular within the Catholic community, Sarah. I mean, I take a lot of heat and I have a lot of haters and for the things I've said in the past, and it's basically a brutal war. But Jesus kind of warned about this in the end times, how, you know, basically brother would be pitted against brother. There'd be a lot of hate in the world. It's kind of I call it the disease of me culture, with everyone trying to be very individualistic and standing out, very self-absorbed culture. And unfortunately, Catholics are buying into it. They're becoming more and more worldly and tending towards the world. And this is what's scary, Sarah, is that we know from scripture, we know from approved Catholic prophecy that the majority are going to take this mark. I mean, that's frightening. I mean, to turn your back on the true Christ and literally, you know, to follow this figure and take his mark.
What does it mean by taking a mark, just so people understand the context of that?
Yeah, sure. And I know we're jumping around here a little bit, but essentially what you'll see, or what the early church fathers talked about with this mark of the beast coming, it's actually a reference to a counterfeit baptism coming. So I know we get kind of hung up on the chip aspect of it, which certainly will be a portion of that. And I'll have Anthony Patch on my show, and we're going to talk a little bit of the AI technology here next week on my radio program. But the bottom line is in order to be able to participate in the new society, if you will, the New World Order society, you will have to take this baptism, this pledge, basically, to the Antichrist. And so the Antichrist has, you know, every Batman has his Robin. So we know from scripture that we've got this false prophet character who's going to be pumping up, you know, kind of be the voiceman for the Antichrist. And he's going to tell everyone that they'll have to take this mark. Now, we already see there's a push in the world to ban cash, to get everyone into a digital economy. Heck, just the you know, a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago rather, I was given by my bank a card with a chip in it, and I was told I have to use it. I didn't even ask for it. You know, those chip readers that they have at the POS systems now, it's like, here's your new card. I was like, okay, you know, when did I ask for this? So it's about control and manipulation in the end, and this counterfeit baptism that's coming, that will be a part of the formal new age religion, which is going to be like a self-realization program. It's, you know, it's highly new age. You know, you can arrive to godhood without, you know, the aid of Jesus Christ, which is obviously traditionally taught in the Christian religion. A lot of, from our perspective, just a lot of mental mumbo jumbo, basically, is what it is. And again, the bottom line with this is, you know, they're going to try to put a positive spin on this, that you need to have this mark. You know, it'll be for your own good. But the bottom line is, you won't be able to have health care without it. You won't be able to go to work. You obviously can't buy or sell, as scripture says. So what does that mean for us Christians? And it's not just going to be Christians who don't take the mark. Trust me, it'll be other people as well. I mentioned this last night on Truth Frequency Radio. You know, the bottom line is, we're going underground. This is exactly what scripture says. This is exactly what the tradition of the church says, that during the end times, Rome will apostatize. Basically turn back to ancient paganism, just like in the early days of Rome, and they'll be coming for us and hunting for us like a real life Hunger Games, Sarah. And we talked about this off air briefly. I mean, you did a piece on communist China. That's what they want. We've got FEMA camps here in this country, over 850 of them. And, you know, it's for nefarious purposes. It's not just to re-educate us. There's a reason why they're bringing guillotines into these camps. I mean, they don't want us here. It's a push for an end of Christianity. That'd be a great title for the show, Sarah. I mean, the New World Order push to end Christianity.
Do you think it's much broader than ending Catholicism? You see it as ending Christianity.
Well, see, to us, I should have labeled that preface. From a Catholic perspective, we are the only true Christianity. We don't see those who are outside of what we're saying as any sort of true form of Christianity. That's why we use the term heresy and heretics in the Catholic Church. And sadly, a lot of Catholics don't get that. There was one father of the church, his name was St. Athanasius, and he said, once you depart from the tradition of the church, you ought not any longer be called a Christian. So we believe that we're following Christ and his true doctrines, and those who are not following, you know, these doctrines, you know, the proper doctrines that he laid down, are basically on the outside looking in, so to speak. And that ties in with, you know, a question that I know you're probably itching to ask about, this whole one world religion coming. And, you know, these infiltrators of the church, it can really be broken down, I think, into two different sets of people. It's these modernists in the church that the Catholic Church has condemned, and basically the modernist, to put it in layman terms, again, has a new concept of what it is to be Catholic. They have a totally erroneous spin on what the church has always taught. They try to reinterpret the Bible, as Francis has been doing. They try to steer people wrong, even in the discipline of the church. And ultimately, it's a transition into this formal new age religion. Now, obviously, they don't come out and necessarily say that, but that's just the reality of the situation.
Well, and then you know, not to interrupt, I want you to get back to your concept, but a lot of people think that the way what Jesus was talking about is being misinterpreted by Catholics, and that they're just trying to follow more Jesus's teaching, a lot of the other Christian religions. Now, what would you say to that? Why do you think they're off in their thinking if they're really trying to get to the core of what Jesus is trying to teach?
Right. Well, first and foremost, again, the Catholic Church is the only church that can prove apostolic succession, meaning if you wanted to find out who was in your family tree, you look back. You go, oh, I came from him, he came from him, he came from him, he came from him. Well,
it's thought. So, I mean, it can wander away. You know what I mean? Over 2,000 years, it can Well, that's go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's what's happened in you know, what's going on in the Vatican. It has wandered away. The things that the church has infallibly said no to, they're literally teaching. So really, in reality, the Vatican is Protestant. Okay. So
I see what you're saying.
It's inversed. They've wandered away as well. And this is what one of the mystics in the Catholic Church said in her end time vision. She talked about how Rome, you know, became Protestant, and she saw all these heretics coming into Rome, and we see that with the Lutherans coming in and all these various other sects coming in for common worship, you know, this whole interfaith movement, which has been condemned by the church. It's only staging the path for a formal worship of the Antichrist. You'll literally be in churches one day, for those who stay in those mainstream churches, and you'll be sitting in front of that abomination of desolation of Maitreya, and you'll be worshiping around him. You know, a purported Catholic will be sitting alongside a Lutheran. We'll be sitting alongside a Buddhist.
But do you think a Lutheran believes in communism?
No.
Because communism is a whole nother jump, which is not good. And do you think that the Catholic Church, the Vatican, I wouldn't say Catholic Church because you say they're, you know, wandering. Do you think the Vatican is doing a big like psyop to try to get people to believe in this and then move us into communism and a one world order that is completely different than what they're preaching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a giant psyop. It's an infiltration, and obviously they're not going to come out and publicly say it. And this was what the message of Fatima was all about. You know, unfortunately, I talked about this last night. There was a Protestant who did a hit piece on Fatima just recently. He's been giving talks, so now I got to go up behind him and make sure everyone's aware that the Fatima message is true. The Blessed Virgin Mary did come in 1917 to warn about how many people have gotten off the Christian path, how the majority of souls are going to hell due to sins of impurity. And this was back in 1917. Think about how the world has gotten worse since 1917. She also warned about this infiltration of the church. She warned that there would be a quote-unquote pope from hell, essentially, that would lead the flock astray. She warned about this one world religion coming. And then after, you know, the final piece to it is, you know, she said in basically the final message that she would perform a miracle for everyone to let everyone know that this thing is real, you know, that my message is real. You know, I'm coming to warn not only Catholics, but the world of what's about to happen. And then there's also material chastisements associated with that. But the bottom line is about 100,000 people showed up, atheists, Freemasons, people there to basically scoff the message, okay, who weren't Catholic. And guess what happened? They converted to the church after the fact. So if this was truly demonic, right, as some Christians will purport, well, then why did, you know, non-Catholics, these atheists and even Freemasons, you know, the Luciferian sect, convert to Christianity? The devil doesn't do that, as Scripture says. You know, the devil can't stand divided. So it doesn't make any sense that this would be, you know, purported message by the demon. So, but again, as Catholics, we believe that Christ only started the Catholic Church. You know, Jesus didn't start the Lutheran Church. You know, Jesus didn't hand the keys to Luther and say, you know, you are the rock upon which I am going to build my church. So from our perspective, the church has the authority to dictate to the faithful what is true, what is not, on the matters of morals and faith alone. And this is where some, you know, Protestants go wrong. Okay, the Pope is not infallible in everything. It's in very limited circumstances. And over the past 50 years, it's only been invoked one time, and that was when John Paul II just basically reiterated that women can't be priests, because that dates back to apostolic times.
Although my understanding is that during the time of Jesus, women did run stuff within their homes, and that wasn't really what Jesus believed. That's what I was taught growing up.
No, well, I mean, in terms of like apostles and things like that, in terms of being priests and stuff like that, no.
That's what I was taught. My mom's a Eucharistic minister, and my father-in-law's a deacon. That's what I've always been taught. I have a different view. And that's my point, is that I have a different view of it. And I'm like, well, I see it as this is what Jesus really, I like to go back based on the principles of what I really believe, based on everything I study of what Jesus really meant. And I'm just going to lay this on the table. I'm not sure if everything that the Catholic Church teaches is what I believe Jesus really meant. And so I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, and that's what I was always taught, is that they've strayed away from Jesus's teachings. But that's different than what you're talking about. You're talking something pretty extreme. But, you know, during the times, like you're saying, the Vatican is straight away. This is an example where people during history have said, gosh, you're straying away. We're going to create our own church because it's so far off of what Jesus really taught. But you're taking it to a whole nother level of what we're seeing and people are seeing everywhere and what communism really is. And that's what, you know, there's two points here. I wanted to get to, you know, the rift in the Catholic Church, but I also wanted to say, hey, there's a message here that is really scary and what that really means as well. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't want to argue because it's the most important thing I think is freedom of thought and freedom to be who you are and without hurting others. And I think communism and that kind of stuff will seriously hurt others. And that scares the heck out of me.
Well, what's interesting to note is, you know, just in studying the, you know, the Masonic sect, that's actually one of the principles that they fly behind. Again, here in the American West, we're not a Catholic country. We don't truly fly by Christian principles. That's what people have to know and understand. Religious liberty, liberty of conscience, those are Freemasonic principles that they wanted to interject into the world to water down Christianity to ultimately get people into communism. And so that's why as Catholics, we see Protestantism as this watered down, fluffy version, which is kind of the middle stair, so to speak. And the next stair down is going to be atheistic materialism, as the church warned. And that's what she's always warned from the beginning. Once you break off from the Catholic Church, it's Protestantism. The next step down is going to be this new world order. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Well,
But freedom of thought is really a libertarian viewpoint, which is very opposite from communism.
The Catholic Church teaches the errors have no rights publicly. If we were truly in a Catholic country, you know, you wouldn't be able to publicly come out and smash the Catholic faith. It wouldn't be able to be, you know, you wouldn't be able to do it. No okay. President or king would ever.
What does one world religion, then how does your view of everybody has to be Catholic differ from one world religion push? Because you're pushing everybody towards Catholicism and they're going to be pushing everybody towards communism. What's the difference?
Well, again, within the Catholic Church, you know, there's these certain doctrines that we have to follow. Basically, there was a pope in the early 1900s, in 1910, his name was Pope St. Pius X, and he warned about these Sillianists or modern-day ecumenists, which basically equates to your modern-day Masonic, you know, interfaith movements that we're seeing now. And he warned that these particular people who had the audacity to call themselves Catholic, again, it's very much a wolf in sheep's clothing situation. They call themselves Catholic on the surface, but in reality, they're not per their doctrine. And basically, they're trying to make it seem like everyone else is okay. Lutherans are okay. You know, evangelicals are okay. Hey, even the pagans are okay. Francis has been on record as saying to an atheist this past year, you know, the atheist says to Francis, well, you know, Father, I don't even believe in a God. He said, well, that's okay. Just obey your conscience and I will meet you there. So it's giving the indication, okay, like this guy is good as long as he obeys his conscience. And again, this ties back to the Freemasonic principles that we were talking about and liberty of conscience and religious liberty and things along those lines. So the bottom line is yeah, there is a plot in place to reroute people out of Catholicism into this one world formalized religion, which will be headed by the false prophet and Antichrist, which will have people from all religions coming under it, so to speak, anyone who will be willing to take that mark. And basically, like I said, it's going to be a self-realization program, a lot of mental mumbo jumbo, you know, probably better topic for another show, but that's when we get into New Age doctrine along those lines. But, you know, the bottom line is the New World Order in its ends has been condemned by the Catholic Church. We had one Pope, Benedict XV in 1920 said, he said this specifically, Sarah, the advent of a universal republic, which is longed for by the worst elements of disorder and confidently expected by them, is an idea ripe for execution. From this republic, based upon the principles of absolute equality of men and community of possessions, would be banished all national distinctions, right? They're globalists. They're not nationalists. Nor in it would be the authority of father over his children, right? Because they want to come after your kids. Or of the public power over its citizens, or of the God over society. be any longer acknowledged. If these ideas were actually to be put in practice, he says, there would be inevitably follow an unheard reign of terror. So he's very much describing the New World Order that we're seeing right now in all of its elements back in 1920, long before the Second Vatican Council. But in the end, it's about control and manipulation. I mean, it's a seductive trap to weed out the middle class, so to speak. They want to get everyone marked. I mean, take a look at the emerging police state that we have here. You know, an NSA spying and all that. I mean, they want to control every aspect of your life. They want to know, you know, what you're doing, where you're going. And so that's kind of the inverse of truly what Catholicism is all about, because we even teach in the Catholic religion, I can't force you, Sarah, to become a Catholic. I can put things out there and show you how, historically speaking, we are the only true church, and show the doctrines and where they are in scripture and tradition. But then you have free will to choose, right? I mean, I can't coerce anyone into believing it. But guess what? The New World Order, to a certain degree, is kind of funneling and forcing people in order to be a part of society into taking this mark. They are trying to control and manipulate you on every level. And that's something that love doesn't do.
No, it doesn't. Love does not do that. But you know, we have a lot of examples to point to, like the show that I did yesterday on communist China with the forced organ harvesting, the labor camps that people are unaware of in China. This shows, and we also have Russia we can point to back in the day. This shows what communism goes to. Now, communism sounds really great, but this is what it goes to. It's a few people controlling everything. And the One World Order is that same concept of a few people. Now, getting along with other countries, trading with other countries, you know, being a world citizen in that way is really important. We don't want wars. We don't want any of that stuff. But having a few people in control of everything is a whole nother story. And we have seen this happen in history, but it sounds good, because even the show I did yesterday, there are a lot of people that are commenting like, this isn't true. They don't believe it, even though the facts are so clear, and they reject it. And they talk about how great China is and stuff. And China has some really great elements in their history and all sorts of stuff. But this isn't good. This is a communist thing, and this is different. It'll happen anywhere.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I just want to be clear that the Catholic Church has infallibly condemned the principles of socialism, of Freemasonry, of communism. These are all, you know, various ideologies that have been condemned by the Church. And yet these principles are coming out of the Vatican right now. So that's what's interesting. I broke this news last night. Now, I'll give you one quote from a pope condemning communism, but I broke this last night, and I want to break it on your show. Well, this is breaking news coming from a priest out in Italy that's a little bit more aligned, you know, with the traditionalists that I'm involved with. His name's Father Cristofaro, and apparently what's going to be coming out soon is that Bergoglio Francis is going to be putting out to the church this oath to him. People are going to have to take an oath to him, his teachings, and his magisterium. And folks, listen, Catholics can't do this, and it's going to be required by, you know, clergy, laity alike. And we think that this is basically the horizon, so to speak, of this formal schism to happen in the church, where eventually, in my opinion, Francis will be part of the equation of this formal New Age religion, because the New Age themselves in their writings say Francis is a puppet of theirs, okay, in their own writings. And they say that the quote-unquote Pope will help aid the Master Jesus, and that's his nickname, or his esoteric name. His real name, in my opinion, is Yeshua ben Joseph, and I'm speaking about the biblical false prophet that will show up here in Rome soon, which the New Age says he's just on the outskirts of Rome, just waiting for the right moment to come onto the scene. In my opinion, this will happen after the economic collapse and chaos happens in Europe. He'll step up onto the scene, you'll see him on mainstream media, and he'll say he's over the Christian churches. And then it's really fun time. You think Francis is bad, just wait till you see this guy, the next guy who shows up. So Pope Pius XI, in one of his encyclicals, said this on the communists. By demanding a more equitable distribution of the world's goods, the communist takes advantage of the present world economic crisis to draw into the sphere of his influence even those sections of the populace which on principle reject all forms of materialism and terrorism. So like you said, it's very seductive. I mean, you could really get trapped into it. Again, socialism being a little bit more watered down flavor of communism. And that's actually the Antichrist website is called Share International. So that's the key buzzword of the socialists these days is sharing. We all got to get together and share, you know, that whole Robin Hood thing, you know, steal from the poor and steal from the rich and give to the poor. Excuse me. And, you know, these notions have been condemned by the church, and this is openly being promoted by Francis himself. But, you know, it's sad times, Sarah. You know, what can I say? I try to do my best to help, you know, everyone. It's not just Catholics. No one understand that this is very prophetic. You know, this Second Vatican Council is very prophetic because we now have a figure who will arrive onto the scene after the economic collapse that perfectly resembles what Scripture and tradition says. You know, will be the Antichrist. And so we believe that we're in those times. We believe we're on the horizon of that great tribulation that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. So a lot going on. So hard to keep up with the news these days. It's virtually impossible.
So do you think that they're talking about sharing and loving everybody and let's all accept everyone, and then behind the scenes they're planning on how to kill everybody?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh, but that's really it. They're very cunning. You know, the New World Order, obviously, you know, they have their plans. They want to reduce the population down to 500 million per the Georgia Guidestones. They're very open about how they've been tampering with our, you know, our water supply, our food supply. I mean, the chemtrails in the air. I mean, they're trying to dumb us down and kill us off, at least in the very least, slowly as they can. And so they want a more controlled populace. And this is why we believe World War III is pretty close, because we know it's going to reduce the population greatly. And this is exactly what they want. And out of the backdrop, you know, of war, or out of the backdrop of a possible alien invasion, they want to create this new Tower of Babel, a falsely united humanity where every religion, you know, has their share in it. Whereas before, the dominant religion was the Catholic religion, right? I mean, it's been pretty dominant for at least, you know, the Western Hemisphere, but that, you know, obviously most of Europe. I mean, Asia, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more different, obviously, with the religions they have over in Asia.
Well, Buddhism, and then they have Muslims, and it's, you know, there's multiple religions, but yes, Catholicism has been very dominant in Christianity, although it's changing. And it has, yes, which is what bothers you so much. But I want to also mention, you think Catholics are going to be forced underground, and you're kind of thinking it's happening now. Where do you see that going? Do you think they're going to be, people are going to have to be secretive, and they're going to be afraid to admit they're Catholic? And if they admit it, they're going to be, you know, sent to some labor camp? I mean, is that how you see the future?
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be anyone who resists the New World Order, though.
It won't just be Catholics, yeah.
Yeah, it won't just be Catholics, yeah. I mean, the point in all this, the reason why God has allowed this is because of lax and lukewarm Catholics. You know, they didn't take their faith seriously. We allowed the world basically to get to the present moment because we didn't take religion seriously. And people started doing their own thing and whatnot, and so it's either Christ or Antichrist. And since we truly didn't want the true Christ, God is basically saying, okay, here, this is who you can serve now. You can serve the Antichrist. So the story has a good ending. We know in the apocalypse, it's not all doom and gloom, especially with the Fatima message where Our Lady came out and said, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And so we believe through her intercession and through praying the rosary and wearing the scapular that the conversion of Russia will take place. There'll be a mass conversion to the Catholic Church. It's a long-awaited prophecy that basically after this 3 days of darkness coming, that the whole world will return to Catholicism again. China is going to convert to Catholicism. Russia, a lot of, you know, Muslims will. Even the Jews in the end are going to convert to the Catholic Church after the two witnesses come down and preach against the Antichrist. That's in the tradition of the Catholic Church. That probably is not known by the vast majority of the Christians listening to this who identify themselves as Christians. And so, yeah, we're going underground. It's going to be like a modern day Hunger Games. And so I always tell people, you know, prepare your soul now, have yourself ready spiritually now, get your communities prepared, you know, prepping wise. I don't necessarily claim to be the world's best in that area. But, you know, the bottom line is if you're not able to go to the Walmart and purchase anything, if you can't go down to the, you know, your local hospital because, you know, you won't be able to enter it without taking this mark, we'll be seen as the outsider. So what do you do? I mean, you will literally be living underground and living out of the norm of what society will accept. And that's what's kind of frightening, is people don't see that transition from Christianity into this formal New Age religion under the Antichrist. And that includes Catholics. I would honestly say that Protestants see this better than a Catholic would be, someone who identifies themselves as a Catholic. And that's pretty frightening to me as well, because I think most Catholics are in denial, Sarah. They don't want to believe this. They don't want to believe that Jesus would allow this great apostasy happen. It like really hurts you. I liken it, when I talk about it, Sarah, it's kind of like, if you were married to someone of 10 years and you walked in on her and there she is cheating on you. It's like you can't process. You see it, but you don't want to believe it. You can't process it, at least not at first. So I think more and more Catholics are waking up to the tune of this apostasy in the church. I was once labeled by a nut, even by some in my own community, and now they want to talk to me. They want to listen. They're trying to absorb better, because they're now embracing it more. They're now putting down the self love and pride and saying, hey, we just have to move on. I mean, this is happening. We just have to move forward with it. So
we have to figure it out. Well, one thing that you said is that China is a model for what they want to bring worldwide. That's what you're saying. And one thing that China has done is they're prosecuting Falun Gong followers, practitioners. And those are the people they're doing forced organ transplants on. I mean, they're killing millions of these people. And these people believed in basic principles. They loved everybody. They believed in what the New World Order is actually teaching. This one world religion that they're trying to get people to believe in is what this Falun Gong actually believed. They were healthier, their bodies worked better. I mean, there's so much information on these people, but they were being persecuted and they're being killed in mass. And you're saying that China's is a blueprint for that, but yet the type of people that they're persecuting are the very people that there is a very kind of religion that they're trying to get everybody to follow.
Yeah, that's kind of ironic, is it not? I also did a show on organ harvesting too. It might be the same guest. What was the name of the guest? I can't remember the guy's name.
Mitch Gerber?
I had Mitch on my show.
He's great.
I had him on my show last year. As a matter of fact, he messaged me on Skype the other day. He covers that. That's interesting. Yeah, so they want sterilization. They want like the one child policy. And organ harvesting is actually kind of an interesting whole other wormhole that we could get down in. In my opinion, the reason why they are utilizing, or they will utilize, guillotines at these FEMA camps is due to, chopping off our heads and keeping our organs more fresh. So we can be harvested. And that's just my opinion and my take on it, because I always wondered, with the Antichrist coming, you would think that we would die like a really brutal death in most cases. And I'm not saying that won't happen, because it is to a large extent. We see kind of a forerunner of the Antichrist with ISIS doing all kinds of just insane things and blowing people up in cars and, all the things that they do. But I think that's why it will be kind of like a clean cut kills, because they want to harvest our organs. There's also another guest you can get on your show, Sarah, called Dr. Paul Byrne from the traditional Catholic world. And he covers this extensively. He'll cover organ harvesting and how they're trying to rewrite what actually is to be considered dead at this point, in terms of, someone being brain dead. And he has all these horrible stories of people, laying in hospitals who weren't really dead, who had their organs harvested, they woke up and they're like, where's my kidney, or whatever. And it's just absolutely insane what's going on. And so, I feel for him. Mitch is a great guest, but ultimately, it's just...
What they do? They have all these people in labor camps. And then they're like sitting there. Remember The Island? You just wait, that movie, The Island, where you just wait until you're called upon and then they kill you for whatever you need. That's what they do with these people in these labor camps. They work in these labor camps or whatever they do with them. And then once they're called upon, they grab somebody and they kill them for their organs because somebody needs it.
Yeah, and that's, again, that doesn't sound like any, loving God to me. So we obviously know the nefarious spirit behind that activity and work. And again, ultimately, folks, listen, the story has a good ending. From my perspective, from what we're trying to teach, what the church has always taught, you know, during these times, you know, most people aren't going to get through this great storm or this tribulation period. But you know, those who kind of get to the other side will be so purified. I mean, we'll basically, they'll just be saints. I mean, they'll be, you know, people who are living for other people in the proper context. Again, the whole world, you know, becomes Catholic on the other side of the world. It'll be through, you know, the intercession of our Blessed Virgin Mary and actually the Eucharist, which will sustain a lot of people because it'll be tough. It'll be tough sledding just to find food and water at that point. And I could share, you know, story upon story about these various mystics who lived without food and water for 5 years, for 10 years, for a dozen years. And so we believe that's how it's going to be with us. We might not be able to get to the Walmart, but we'll be living off of the Eucharist that we eat when we go to Catholic Mass, you know, the you know, our Lord's body and blood. So he will supply for us. That was one question that Anthony asked me last night, like, what do we do? Well, God will supply for us. He'll pave the way for us. And, you know, with these crosses, it'll help us to become better Christians. But at the bottom, you know, at the end of the day, I just want everyone to understand that from a Catholic perspective, you know, these interfaith movements aren't good. You know, Catholics getting together from a salvation standpoint, that is. I'm not speaking on a specific topic. Like I know you were mentioning, Sarah, how you would like to see a lot of people kind of collaborate and get together on the issue of pedophilia. Well, I'm speaking, you know, apples, you're speaking oranges. I'm talking about from a salvation standpoint. You know, Catholics can't, we're not on the same page doctrinally with other people. And our Lord said that you know, only faith will please him. Well, in this context, yeah, it's a subjective faith in him, but he's also referring to the Catholic faith, you know, those doctrines and teachings that he truly did pass down.
But what do you think of, and this is where I differ from you, you know that, that, you know, having faith in differently from a Catholic, but still being a really great person and following the principles of Jesus, but not doing it in the
I know.
You know what I'm saying? There's some different things. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, again, in Catholic teaching, there, you know, there's various sins. You know, some of the more common ones we obviously know that are really bad, rape, murder, this or that. But from a Catholic perspective, what really ticks off God is when you don't properly worship him in the proper context and you don't keep those, you know, teachings that he had. So heresy.
But how do you know that? How do you know? See that? Well, see, now I'm trying to convert you to my way of thinking. See, I think I'm right. You think you're right. And that's okay. I, you know, one of my best people I love to talk to, I love her. She's a lot like you, very, but she lives right next to my mother and father-in-law, and I talk to her every time I go down there, and I'm closer to her than they are, you know, now. And she's just like you, so I just to let you know, just because I say this doesn't mean I don't accept and love the people who believe this. I grew up in a very religious environment. I just don't agree with all this stuff, but I think that's okay. You know, like the Falun Gong that believed what they believed, they were loving, beautiful, healthy people, and what they practiced was beautiful, but they weren't Catholic. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, what the church would teach, what the church has always taught, is that without sanctifying grace in your soul, no matter how apparent good you are on the surface, it's not possible for you to save your soul.
Okay.
That's what sanctifying grace is called. So, like say for example, I know a lot of people on the surface who will pretend to be good and this or that. I mean, I'm not saying that those people pretend to be good, but the bottom line, that doesn't necessarily reflect interiorly that they have sanctifying grace in their soul. So, you know, that's why the Catholic Church had sent out missionaries to those pagans and people who didn't know the Catholic faith, because it's what's called a regeneration within their own spirit and heart. That's why we have baptism, right, in the Christian religion. It's a regeneration. Now, without that, and without staying in a state of grace, it's not possible for you to save your soul, even as a Catholic. I mean, you know, that's the first step would actually, from a Catholic perspective, would be to hold the Catholic faith. Now, you have to stay in a state of grace yourself. So let's say you're a playboy type and you're dabbing yourself into all kinds of sexual sins. Well, if you die in a state of grace too, you as a Catholic would die and go to hell. And that goes across the board. You know, for any religion, it's just that from a faith perspective, it's heresies would be a sin against the faith. And that's why, you know, in the Catholic Church, it was always taught as, you know, this is the one boat, so to speak, to be on. This is the doctrines that you have to teach. And again, it's a whole other topic where we have to go into the tradition of the church to establish that Jesus started this church. Just one prime example would be St. Ignatius of Antioch in the year 100 AD said this in his one of his early epistles, that where there is the bishop, there also is Jesus Christ. Where Jesus Christ is, there is also the Catholic Church. So in the year 100 AD, we have an early reference to the Catholic Church. So again, that's why we believe as Catholics, we've got that apostolic succession thing. So yeah, it is, you know, listen, I predominantly spend my time with non-Catholics there, and I don't mind discussion and debate, you know, it's just how it is. But the thing about it is, and what's very interesting is I think, and this is what prophecy says, eventually Protestants do come back. You know, most Protestants will see that it's really either going to be the New Age path or it's going to come back to what the church had always taught. I truly do and honestly believe that. And I've seen a lot of conversions back to how we think, you know, through this work. And it's up to everyone. You know, you got to sit there and investigate it just as I did. But, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing and giving me a platform and everyone, you know, a platform, you know, to kind of talk and discuss these things. And
I am a firm believer, and this is what I said, freedom of thought. If you take away someone's freedom of thought, you take away their spirit. And there's nothing more important than that to me. And then freedom of speech is right behind that, because if you control the speech, you're controlling freedom of thought. And that is so important to me. So, and giving people different ways of thinking and trying to understand stuff. I do know that there's a lot of evil going on right now, and we have to eradicate it. I want fellow soldiers. I don't care if they're Catholic. I don't care if they're Buddhist. I don't care if they're Muslim. I don't care. I want fellow soldiers who love humanity to help fight this evil. And I think that's the most important thing. That's where I'm coming from. But I completely appreciate everything you're doing as well, because you're educating people on what's really going on.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on from you know, prophetic standpoint. Again, there's some serious events here on the horizon. We believe that Benedict XVI is the true pope. Maybe next time we could talk about that, why Francis is actually an anti-pope. He's an imposter pope who opposes the true pope. But Benedict XVI is going to be your Pope of Fatima, your end times pope to flee Rome. So the papacy is actually going to move, because Rome is going to adopt this formalized New Age religion. It means the Catholic Church is going to be on the move. And in my opinion, based upon what is said in the Third Secret of Fatima, eventually the papacy will end up in Portugal. I think specifically Fatima, where this message was given back in the early 1900s. And there will be this holy pope. This is one of the points that I stressed yesterday, because I see so many Christians butchering this. You know, Petrus Romanus, Francis is not the last pope of the world. First of all, he's not even a true pope, so we can move him out of that classification. But Petrus Romanus, according to prophecy, is actually going to be a good and holy pope, which is going to lead Christians through this great tribulation period. And he's going to have the gift of miracles. He's going to be able to do some really wonderful things, so to speak, you know, gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I think he will be instrumental in getting a lot of those who have broken off from the church to getting back under this what we believe is the one true form of Christianity. And it's going to be very interesting times. I mean, there's just, you know, with the UFO phenomenon going on, all these false prodigies going on in the skies with Project Bluebeam, and, you know, people saying they have able to do miracles such as the false prophet and the Antichrist will. I mean, it's going to get very bizarre, Sarah. Like I said, we're going from diabolical disorientation into the church to the flat-out twilight zone, because we're going to be seeing things on TV that we wish, you know, we hadn't seen. And then, you know, maybe next talk we could even get into the whole Planet X thing and the Earth changes that we're seeing. I mean, there's so much to discuss, and that's what I try to cover at Tradcat Nights. I cover it all.
That's great. I love what you're covering. So let's just quickly close this up on who do you think, and I know you, I think we're probably on the same page, who has infiltrated the Vatican, and are they specifically using the Vatican because they know that the Vatican's voice is so strong and is the most powerful at uniting people, or what are they doing?
Yeah, that's it, because we are the largest organizationally speaking. They needed to get a hold of the buildings and the organization itself. And several books written on this. There was a book, you should read this, Sarah. It's a really good book. It's AA1025, Memoirs of an Anti-Apostle. And in it, it was the memoirs of a communist agent who infiltrated into the Catholic Church and wrote everything down on a daily basis. And it talked about how on the surface, you know, he pretended to be a Catholic, but he actually hated Our Lady. You know, he hated the rosary. He hated the Catholic Church in general. But in it, that reference to 1,025 is how many, you know, communist agents actually infiltrated the church. Now, this was going way back when, before Vatican II, so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out. Kind of like entering into a business, you start at the lowest level in the diocese, and then you work your way up into the business world, right? Well, mm-hmm. Guess where those agents are now? They're in the highest echelons of the church. Another reference to that would be Bella Dodd, who was an ex-communist leader of the I believe she was the ex-communist party leader here in America. But anyway, she converted to Catholicism in the end. She's got a wonderful book called School of Darkness. You can also look her up on YouTube. But she talked about this deception as well. She verified basically that story that over 1,000, you know, Marxist communist agents were infiltrated into the church with the intention of them moving up to basically capture the highest piece, right? Like on the chessboard, whatever the highest pieces on a chessboard, queen, I don't know what a queen or king or whatever it is, but they wanted to get to the Pope, right? They wanted to capture him, because if they can capture him, they knew that Catholics would follow in false obedience. And that's exactly what's been happening. Catholics have been dumbed down to just believe the Pope can say whatever he wants, and that's not the case, and just follow along. So literally, people are following along towards this path of, you know, a one world religion, not even realizing it, or perhaps not even caring. But the sects, S-E-C-T-S, that have infiltrated the church are, you know, these modernists, again, who are pretenders. They pretend to be Catholic but have an erroneous interpretation thereof. And then the Freemasons. And this could be a topic for another talk, because I always get labeled, you know, as an anti-Semite. But you know, this synagogue of Satan and international Jewry in and of itself is largely behind the New World Order. And we could get into that topic next time about this puppet state of Israel being established ultimately to house the Antichrist. And Catholic tradition says that he'll rule from Jerusalem. He'll make Jerusalem the capital of the world, which was verified by the first prime minister, Ben Gurion. He said that essentially the UN would be housed there. It would be the Supreme Court of mankind and all this stuff. That's where he's going to rule from, folks. And the early church fathers said, if you want to know a key sign of the end, pay attention to a rebuild of the third temple. And that's what they're doing right now. They're, in their own writings, they say they are but a few years away from getting that third temple rebuilt. And this is a clear sign that we are in those days that Jesus warned about, and that the Great Tribulation is just about here. So appreciate you know, you letting me speak, Sarah, and hopefully we can do this again on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
And
well, tell people where they can learn more about you and get your work.
Sure. Yeah, the website is tradcatnight.blogspot.com. You can search any social media platform. We're on all the social media platforms. Just search Tradcat Night. We're on YouTube. I'm on Twitter. I'm on SoundCloud now, so it's in podcast version, Google Plus, Facebook. But I also, like you, I have my own radio show bringing guests from all areas of life. I cover all the different topics as it relates to the New World Order, not just the apostasy in the church. And so we will probably find that we have many common guests. Like I said, I had Mitch Gerber on last year, really good guy. I really enjoyed talking with Mitch, and just, you know,
he's great.
Yeah, he's got a lot of information that's like make your eyebrows, you know, kind of get
and
raised.
And it's very factual based. I mean, he has so many references and things as far as the organ harvesting, because I've had a ton of trolls saying that there's no facts behind this and that's BS. But keep going.
Yeah, they're probably just paid disinformation.
I'm sure.
So I get that a lot too. But yeah, so you can get there, and the radio show is, you know, 30 minutes a day. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can always, you know, send it to me, you know, at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. And, yeah, like I said, you know, the message of Fatima is one of faith and hope truly in the end. And, again, I'm not trying to subjectively knock anyone else who has differing viewpoints, but obviously, you know, as Catholics, we say one thing and we're not budging from it. And I think that's why, you know, within the traditional Catholic community, I think a lot of people will flock to me, is because they know I'm not going to bend, crack, budge, or or whatnot. So, you know, it is foretold in Catholic prophecy of kind of a good counter-revolution to come. And, you know, all I can say kind of in the end is, you know, just pay attention to world events, pay attention to, well, I'm trying to put this in a certain fashion, but maybe I'll just hold off on that. But, you know, in the end, folks, I just ask you all to get to tradcatnight.blogspot.com, and I look forward to getting you on my show here very soon, Sarah, and we'll tackle some more topics that are popping up because, as you know, the news is just so hard to keep up with these days.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. I hope you have a great day and keep doing what you're doing, educating people. And yes, we'll have you back.
All right. Appreciate it, Sarah. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks so much.